I can't think of a day where we've been busier.
Yeah. No, it's a huge day.
Wow.
Huge day on the show. As you mentioned, what we know for certain is that North Carolina is coming to town.
That's huge.
To play Memphis for the very, 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 very first time.
Exhibition.
Not going to count, but it's like
you have to be careful.
It's like the Final Four. That, you know, they took that away from us, but we were there. We saw it.
Yep.
You know, and just like we'll see this. This is part of course, an initiative here with St. Jude. It's the Hoops for St. Jude Tip-Off Classic is what they're calling it. Obviously, the hope is that this is very well supported and that this becomes a regular thing. Not just a regular thing, but maybe even a regular season thing.
Well, that'd be a beautiful thing.
Now,
it already is.
Here's the great thing. It's on y'all. It's on y'all.
What's on you? You got pumps up.
Show up.
Show up and show out.
If you want this to be a regular season, regular thing for the University of Memphis, to have an event like Coaches for Cancer, right? Like, you know, tip-off season tournaments.
Yes.
You need to show.
To be held in Memphis every year? Yes.
You need to show that you'll support it.
Support this to get that.
That's right. I mean, it's certainly.
I mean, it's as simple as
that. It makes the case. It makes the case very easy to say, we had it in Memphis, and look, we sold it out. We sold it out, right?
Would you say that there are enough UNC fans in Memphis that just you'll have a presence?
I would think you could find at least 3,000 to 4,000.
Yeah, you'll have UNC folks that will buy tickets this day just to see their team.
And not even just Memphis. It's now Arkansas, Mississippi.
A little bit of that, yeah.
People will make a weekend of it because, you know, if you're a North Carolina fan in those areas, you won't get a chance.
Well, it's a Tuesday game, is it not? You said make a weekend of it.
My bad, yeah. Well, say long weekend, okay? October 15th.
Yeah.
Long weekend.
That's a Tuesday game.
So you get here on Saturday, you stay till Wednesday morning, you know? Make a long weekend of it. Take some days off from work. But yes, it's a very exciting event in Memphis, obviously made possible by the good folks at St. Jude, and it will air nationally on ESPNU. So, again, everybody's watching. This is a test balloon, right?
And it's part of a doubleheader. You get Dawn in here as well.
Get Dawn in here. South Carolina playing the Memphis women's basketball team. So this is a test balloon. And obviously some NIL is a part of the deal as well. I think the reporting was that North Carolina is going to get about $150,000 in NIL. Undisclosed amount for Memphis. Sources say billions and billions of dollars for the University of Memphis.
I know who says that.
So anyway, big stuff happening in Memphis, and also maybe a change in conference. Maybe, just maybe.
I thought the Pac-12 was dead.
We are going to be blessed.
Woke up this morning, find out.
Now, some of y'all don't want to receive the blessing.
Undertaker.
That's the problem. Some of y'all don't want to receive the blessing, and so we will discuss that here on the show.
Well, we're going to have a discussion. Yes, we are.
The discussion on the show. Drew Hill going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about all of this.
Love having fellow Bears fan Drew.
That's right. Big Sunday night game for the Bears.
And Grizzlies right around the corner.
Grizzlies right around the corner.
We're right here.
That's right. So we'll talk to Drew Hill about all of that at 11:25. Looking forward to that. Then at 1:05, we're going to be joined by Chris Boyson, the SVP over at ALSAC, who helped make this possible. He was very much involved in the forming and the getting done of this event, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
Helped spearhead it. He's a U of M alum, Chris is.
Didn't know that about
yes,
Chris.
Yes. So, yeah, he's been this has been in the works for, you know, quite a while.
Oh, I read from Jeff. He went to Hargrave. He's really who made this thing happen. Guy with Ed and everybody that, you know, need to be gotten with.
Yeah, so we're going to talk to Chris at 1:05, Chris Boyson, about the formation of the event and, you know, what the future might look like.
Yeah, I think that's just as big a part of the story as what it could become, what the aim is to be a regular season tournament played here every year at FedEx Forum.
Right, because
that
would
be huge.
Why would St. Jude want this to just be a one-off? Right? Why would they would want this to be something that becomes a staple every single year in Memphis?
And again, NIL and the desire for it ain't going anywhere. And so if you think about it, it's a sort of attraction. This is for major college basketball brands. Let's be real. It's not just an NIL stop I mean, we, you know, the number for North Carolina has been reported. I mean, you absolutely get a chance to be a part of a world brand in St. Jude. And so you get, you know, you're doing the tour. Everybody's talked about that experience, whether it's for their team or whatever else. We know the work the Grizzlies have done, but once you're down there and you're a part of that, you know, that whole experience and sort of the testimony that is. And who wouldn't want to be involved with that? Bill Self would want to be involved with that. Cal with Arkansas, I would think, would want, understanding any better than anybody else, the power of St. Jude and what that raising this money would represent. It could be an opportunity to get Arkansas in here, and you play a little four-off tournament. I mean, I think that's the most exciting part of it to me is you'll be able to attract, it feels like, a lot of teams that'll want to come in here and be a part of the St. Jude experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So
not just looking for a payday.
We'll talk to Chris Boyson about that at 105. Then at 125, Gabe Kuhn going to join us, former Memphis Tiger football player, host of the Gabe Kuhn Show here on 99 FM ESPN. Memphis has a big game this weekend. Against Florida State.
Now he agrees with you on something that you're going to air it out a little bit.
He does agree with me on that. You
on
learned
Saturday.
That yesterday.
I learned that from him on his show. A little bit of a home and home today.
Yeah, a little home and home.
And where I want to be Smash Mouth, right? And so I thought he would sort of subscribe to that, the old hoss that he was. He'd tell me, no, we throwing it around to start. We're going to empty the playbook, basically, is what he told me yesterday.
Yeah, y'all ain't got Derrick
so
Henry, bro.
I thought I was talking to a football guy, a Smash Mouth guy. Yeah. We're going to run this down their throat. Gabe said, no, he with you, we're going to be throwing the rock, throwing to Blankensee.
Yeah, you ain't
so
got.
So we're going to see which one of y'all.
Did you think Memphis had Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs in the backfield, bro?
Mario Anderson.
You bust.
Led
you high
South
as a mug on them Tiger running backs, man.
Elijah Herrin led Tennessee in tackles, doing a hell of a job here. Mario Anderson led South Carolina in rush, doing a hell of a job here.
Yeah.
It seems to be pretty simple.
Well said.
Come on, O-line. Come on, Gabe.
I hit the over this
You should
morning.
Want to run the ball more.
I hit the over 52 this morning, and it's not 52 anymore.
I'm going to get on him at 125. I cannot believe it. Gabe wants to, you know, go up and down the field, score 50 out here.
Yeah.
The
total has gone up to 53.5. Just so you know, from 52.
Let's grind him down. Y'all could end up being right.
Well, you know, I mean, it ain't
like
just,
what I kind of with you on. We'll get you, but what you mentioned about Florida State not wanting to double team those receivers,
right?
Who have been double teamed
exactly
to start the year, as Cramsey was pointing out. You touched on that yesterday,
exactly. Anyway, a lot to get to on the show today, but let's start real quick with the news from St. Jude, which is the St. Jude Tip-Off Classic. I hope I got that right. I think I got that right. I think that's what they're officially calling it. But
Hoops for St. Jude Tip-Off Classic.
Yeah, Hoops for St. Jude Tip-Off Classic. Tuesday, October 15th, North Carolina, Hubert Davis. Who else? Who we got on that? It's Elliot Cadeau. It's
who can't shoot, but is a good point guard.
He was getting better as the year went on.
He was. He made some key ones late, but he went on a bad streak. I mean, like national news type 0-for.
Yeah.
19 or something type streak. Anyway, I like him, though.
I think R.J. Davis is back.
I want to tell you he is. We know finally Armando
is not. R.J. Davis
is
back. R.J. Davis is still there. So it's R.J. Davis, Elliot Cadeau, Seth Trimble, Jalen Withers, Jalen Washington. I mean, these are the better players. I mean, I'll say this. It's not a great North Carolina team. I mean, R.J. Davis is definitely going to carry them to some wins, no question about it. But, you know, this is not your top five ranked North Carolina Tar Heel team. But it's good. It's a good team. And it's freaking North Carolina. It's that brand that has never played Memphis inside that building. And they have played inside that building, but they've never played Memphis inside that building. So it's going to be quite the scene, man. Just to, even though it doesn't count. I mean, Purdue played Tennessee in the I think it was Purdue and Tennessee. Or was it Tennessee and Michigan State? I think it was, I want to say it was
last year.
Yeah, it was. It might have been Michigan State. It might have been Michigan State that played Tennessee in the exhibition. There was a big time exhibition
With Tennessee. Tennessee played someone huge in exhibition. I want to say it's one of the two teams you mentioned.
It was number four Michigan State loses to Tennessee 89-88.
Yep.
And you know what? Even though it wasn't a game that counted. Try telling me that the fans that were in attendance didn't love the hell out of that game. And also try telling me that it didn't make either of those teams better, right? I mean, just playing a game that doesn't count. I mean, because these are these are taking the place of secret scrimmages, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of those games being secret behind closed doors, now we all get to enjoy them and watch them and see them. And so I think it's a fantastic thing. All the proceeds benefit and go to St. Jude. So no better cause in the city of Memphis. So this is a great development. Kudos to everybody involved who helped get this done. It had been in the works like we had talked about for a long time, and they were just trying to wait. They were waiting to get that over the finish line this summer.
My brain is stopping, just because we talked about first time you've ever played North Carolina, and you got the chance to play them for real in Maui.
Yes,
remember that. Go back though. Did they not play a secret scrimmage?
Did they?
Is it ringing any bells?
Was it a Tubby team?
Shout out to Tubby Smith's new look Memphis squad. Streets telling me Tigers held on against defending national. What is that? Am I making that up?
I mean, you found it. Who said that?
Old Smoothie.
You
looks like an old tweet. It just feel like Davenport and them. Was there not a now? Whether it was at FedEx Forum, I can't remember. But was there not a secret? And again, this is
2017. They did have a secret scrimmage. They did have a secret scrimmage. Now, that was probably at the basketball facility, right?
I don't think so.
You think it would have been at the Forum?
Yeah.
Well, damn.
Wouldn't it have been?
Now I can't even say that.
I just want to be, come on. It's a script. That secret scrimmage, yeah. Nobody remembered it. Plus,
well,
why?
Nobody because saw it.
Remember, we did the wine thing, Men in Black, on the Tubby years.
Mm-hmm, that's exactly
and
right.
And so I can forgive you because yes. We've all forget. But they did. I said, secret scrimmage.
Yes.
When you said these are replacing those, which they said, I was like, yeah, I think I remember North Carolina coming up in here anyway. Remember, we didn't have a ton of detail, but I think there was some message board fodder or whatever back in the day. Anyway, there's the opportunity, obviously, to face them. You can have a full FedEx Forum. And as John said, I think the key here, they need the support. You want the support. Obviously, you're supporting St. Jude. All the dollars go to St. Jude, but clearly with the hope that you will have a chance at a regular season tournament.
Yes.
You know, sponsored by St. Jude. We know that they're willing to, with other sponsors, I imagine, you do an NIL package like we talked about, the teams, you fly them in here, they come and visit St. Jude. I mean, you can really see that. And that, perhaps, is, again, a way you get Arkansas and Cal back up in here. Sort of the, you know what I'm saying? A bonus for Memphis in a way that you could always be a part of this. Have this insight. I mean, it'd be huge. That'd be a great thing if you could build it into that, into a regular season tournament.
UNC won that game 70-64, by the way.
Where'd you find that out?
TarHeelBlog.com. So listen, this is going to be a fantastic event, and we'll talk to Chris Boyson about this at 105.
Yeah, what'd I say, falling by six?
Yeah.
See, old Smoothie was on top of it back then, bro.
Yeah, you just didn't have the numbers. You just didn't have the exact...
Bro, I got freaking field goal percentages. Look, I'm in the boards. That's when I was plugged in, bro.
Yeah, you really were, but you weren't happy. You were plugged in, but you weren't happy in that time.
Because it was about to be Tubby Smith.
That was 2017. So
I was here.
You were already here.
Yeah.
Okay. You still had a mole inside the building.
Fallen by just six.
And
your UNC reporter had it a 6.
70-64.
Remember, we couldn't be in there. You had to listen to the streets.
That's
to get
right.
That back then, secret scrimmage.
That's right. So, look, this is an awesome event for Memphis, city of Memphis. And if it goes well and you guys buy tickets, which I believe are available, I think they're on sale.
Not until that news is out there. I think I want to say Saturday, but I can get it. We can get it right here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, you're selling North Carolina, who they got all that. Best thing about it in terms of attractions to me is Dawn Staley.
That too.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I
mean,
she and Jeff stated it right. She's the biggest name in women's college basketball. You know, in terms of coaching.
Yeah.
You know, not players, right?
Yeah.
She surpassed Geno just in terms of who we talk about, who the top brand is. I mean, that's what they are.
Yes.
South Carolina basketball, and so there's the chance to see them. I know they got one of their players that just saw recently the headline. Was in a little bit of.
They go on sale Saturday at 10 a.m.
There you go. So, I wanted to get that
Ticketmaster and the FedEx Forum box office.
A ton of North Carolina fans here are going to suck up a ton of them right off top.
I mean,
just excited to see North Carolina here because again, secret scrimmage, they could not do that back in 2017.
Don't you think that
and I'm pretty sure that was at FedEx Forum.
Don't you think they'll fly off? I mean, I'm kind of expecting these to go pretty quick. I mean, I'd be kind of disappointed if they don't.
I was listening to you and Jeff. I don't. I don't have any sense that these aren't good. This isn't going to be a thing that's, you know, you got a good 13,000, 14,000 plus.
Right. That's what I would think. I mean, if you can't get 13, 14,000 for North Carolina in your building, I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, we really are in bad shape.
And so they're doing the men's first and then the women's, I think I read.
Okay.
Over at y'all's shop, the Daily Memphian. Yeah, followed by the women's. We'll tip at 6, followed by the women's game.
Okay, so you stay for the main event, which is Dawn?
Yeah, I think a great many will. Let's be real, not everybody's going to stay for that after you've done. I mean, I wish they would, but they're not. But Dawn's going to have one of the best teams in the country. I'm sure they're going to be, if not favored, to win it again.
Yeah, so listen, it's...
congrats to them.
Yeah, it's a big event. It really is. It's a big college basketball event.
Dude, this is how you get Cal back. I'm just going to put it out there.
It is a way.
He understands.
Yeah.
And how you got to put set to the side stuff like, oh, I don't want to play my former school, when it comes to causes like St. Jude.
Right.
And nobody understands. Again, Cal worked with him. He knows. Nobody understands that better than Cal. This is how you can lure him here.
Exactly.
Lure him back.
Exactly.
Again, we're going to use it to raise dollars to you know, fight childhood cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But we can also get Cal back here with this one.
Yeah, listen.
I got a feeling.
I almost like don't know if we have enough time before we, you know, need to
get through
Hill.
I'm dreaming big, I know, too.
To talk about the next piece here.
Well, it's because we're going to fight.
I don't know if we have to fight. I think we might disagree, but I don't think
that depends on you, buddy.
I don't think we have to fight, because I just think ultimately if we could approach this with an open mind, and
wide,
and then we can once again look at the current circumstances, and that's why I just don't think honestly we're going to have enough time to really do this segment justice at 11:19. So what we're going to do is we're going to let Jason once again fall back in love with the league that Memphis is currently in, and we're going to talk to Drew Hill on the other side, get his thoughts on this event.
I think this Pac-12 stuff is really interesting, and I'm completely in favor of Memphis trying to make a move like that, because I feel like it's now or never. What would you be waiting for if that opportunity does open up? Why would you say no? I think, you know, the money would have to be right in terms of some sort of TV deal for the league. I get that. But in terms of just being part of a competitive league, having some competitive balance, like, I do think that is absolutely something that they should jump at if given the opportunity.
Yeah, you and I have not talked about this, and that wasn't necessarily where we had intended to go, but it is sort of the story of the day. With Memphis being mentioned, you know, as one of these targets potentially for this new Pac-12, and it boils down to this: we don't know what the media rights deal would look like. That would be a very important piece of the puzzle. But I did see a tweet from an executive who says that Pac-12 jumps to first in line on the college TV deal front. For a number of reasons, their games will be of value to outlets. ESPN might want more West Coast games for the launch of their streaming product, their over-the-top product. TNT needs content. Fox and CBS split the Mountain West package. So you would think that being the case, they're going to get a better television deal than what the AAC currently has. So you're going to make more money, and that would probably help offset the travel costs. And then then most importantly, you get out of a league that includes Rice, Tulsa, Temple, UAB, etc. I mean, I just think people underrate how bad it makes Memphis look that they're associated with teams like that.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely important, and I'm with you there, too. I think you make an interesting point on, like, the streaming stuff, the direct-to-consumer type of deal that could happen there. You also would be playing in time windows that would be much later at night. And if you're a night owl like me, maybe you don't mind. Like, some Memphis fans may actually care about that. But I do think that also, especially with sports betting becoming as large as it is, like, people aren't done watching football at the same time that they might have been done watching football before sports betting came into effect. Because now those are the games, you know, people are, you know, I think your casual fan at home is trying to get win his $20 back or whatever, and is sitting on the couch watching late night football. I think that, you know, there is an opportunity there. There's a window there to get more eyeballs by playing at later times. And I think that actually may play to the advantage of the league in some sort of streaming scenario like that. And so, I think it would be a great move. I think it's something you absolutely have to do. I think the league would be much more competitive, both from a basketball and a football standpoint. And you would have, under this current construction of this 12-team playoff, I think that would clearly be a league strong enough to where they would get a bid almost every single year. So, I think that's something Memphis would just simply have to try to make happen.
So you'd just be competing with the old American with your old conference for the group of five spot, right? Is that what we're...
I don't think it would be much of a competition.
Because they're saying
I don't think it'd be much. Yeah.
Right? The American.
So you're saying, y'all are saying that spot would essentially become a power spot because no one can compete with you.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
Boise, Memphis. I mean, they're going to take more. Washington State. I mean, I'm not sure there's any
way. It's just not a jump right now. It is better. And no one can argue against that. That where you are, that's your best argument. But it's not part of a power structure. Is this even part of something that's given away? You know, that's the power structure is doing the $22 million to student athletes. Is this something that's a part of that? Like there are things you want to explore. I think Giannato brings up a good point. I'm not saying this is it, but it has a feel of we thought Big East was going to be big, and then that thing crumbled. And you just wonder, I'm not saying this will crumble, but you wonder, are there going to be other opportunities? Hell, ACC may take forever. It may never come apart, so waiting on that may be a foolish move. You know, this could be your ship, but it might be a ship that's going nowhere. It might be a ship that's, again, just the best thing outside the power structure.
Yeah.
What's always gotten us excited is about getting in.
Right.
Getting into the power structure.
I guess, and Drew, I don't know if
you'd rather,
it's just better. It's just better than where you are. That's all. That's the best way to sell. It's just better than where you are. And we'll get.
Would you rather be?
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, would you rather be on a ship going nowhere, or would you rather be left at the dock?
Well, this one I'm going to dominate. I mean, again, I know it's bad and you're tied to it and it's rice or whatever, but at least each year with the investment I have, I'm going to dominate it, a la Memphis back in the mid-2000s dominating a poor CUSA in basketball. I mean, I'm doing that in football, and that's my spot. And in this case, I guess I'm competing with those Pac-12 teams for that spot, but you know, it's either I'm going to own this, and yeah, I'm on a ship that's going nowhere, but I'm hoping, again, that something's going to open up, whether it's ACC or whatever else. You know, something closer to the power structure. Hey, I'm not saying it's the wrong move here not to jump and get froggy and go. I'm just saying I have more questions because it's, again, not part of a power structure where we know that's where the big stuff's happening. The $21, $22 million, that's where I want to get to if there's any possibility. If this is the closest you can come, by all means, take the ship.
And I think that it is, right? I mean,
yeah.
So you're telling me, ACC, Florida State, all that's going to be shut down for years. You're not getting in. Or if it does, you don't want to be a part of that. That's what you're telling me.
A bird in hand is better than two in the bush.
That's what I'm saying. If you can say that today, that there's no chance ACC opens up, then I'm all for it. I'm with you guys. Let's go jump. Exciting. Let's go. But if there is that chance, I don't want to be the one that jumped too early. And that's better than where you are, than what you're jumping to, potentially. Again, it is the argument against. It doesn't mean it's the right move.
You know what I come back to? I come back to this idea. Do you remember when all this conference realignment was happening? Guys, they used to say, what's college athletics going to look like down the line? And I can tell you some people behind the scenes would say, it's going to look like closer to 60 teams instead of 115, and they're going to play for a championship, and everybody else is kind of going to get lost. I think that we are still even more so headed in that direction, and you want Memphis to be included in that. And so this is about getting as high up the ladder as possible. And I think you make some fair points, Jason. Like, you might end up on a use the ladder scenario, you may end up at a bigger height if you wait. But I don't think you want to be stuck at the bottom as people crawl over top of you. And so I think that's, to me, why it feels imperative that right. they get away from the American Athletic Conference as quickly as they possibly can to the most competitive conference that they possibly can. And if you have teams like Washington State, Oregon State, Boise State, in particular included in that, big markets, San Diego State, like big either programs with tradition or programs in a big market. I think that does matter. And so, but I get it. I get what you're saying. I definitely understand.
It's not
that.
The it's not the panacea, right? It's not going to be. It's not the cure all. I get that. But if you turn it down, who's to say that Tulane won't? Who's to say that South Florida won't? And then you get stuck. I mean, and now you're really stuck. And now, even if you win your league, you have no prayer. You have no chance because you turned it down because you're waiting on this invitation that's probably never going to come. And if it does come, it's going to be 15 years from now in a league that may or may not dissolve, a la the Pac-12, you know, last season. So you turn it down. Other power league teams in your league take it. Now what? Now you look stupid. Now you look like you got played because there's no world where those teams, this fantasy that you're going to stay in this league and you can win it and go to the playoff over that conference.
Well, you would compete to go just like Liberty would have gone last year.
Yeah, but
you can compete is what I said.
Yeah, I mean, but you won't.
It doesn't
ever
guarantee
though.
You the spot. Again, you're talking in extremes. ACC never breaks up. You will never go. You don't have a chance.
Well, to me, it's bad. Your argument is just as bad as mine because you're saying wait for something that might never happen.
It's not an argument. It's a consideration of maybe we better do a little study before
we
jump.
I've considered it, and I've said it's not better.
Yeah, that's the side you're on, man. But you want to make it personal, and
I'm not making it personal. Yours
is better, sure.
I mean, it's obvious. It's not even.
It looks better right now. That's what the Big East looked like. We went through this before.
Yeah.
And thought something was better, ended up not being.
That's right. But
we've got some experience. So the idea that couldn't happen again, we watched it then.
But staying in the
and
American.
And so that's history and not like, learning from history. Not learning from history. I think that's
so Memphis should have just stayed in Conference USA?
Be careful. First, get the invite. Get the invite just because Dennis Dodd has said it. It hadn't happened.
I mean, you're saying Memphis should have stayed in USA?
No. Yes, we've been left behind before. Louisville and those teams, they moved on from us. And yes, we didn't get Froggy when we needed to. Shirley Raines, go ask her. We've also seen us jump to something that was garbage. Period.
Yes.
He's making this out to be, I'm saying this is the right move not to go. This is the other options. These are things you have to consider. This is what you do. It's a discussion. It's not picking it today.
Jason's point is basically that, you know, you don't know if this is going to be the better option, and he's right in saying that. My consideration here, which I'm thinking about, which is a different consideration, is like what happens if they change this format again for
it's
the college
gonna be, it's
football?
Gonna be, it's going to be two big conferences in a minute anyway. It's going to be two conferences running the whole thing. I mean, that's where we're headed for. We didn't even discuss that. I mean, then all of us are outside of it.
Well,
right?
I think they'll keep the format because those power teams will like having a gimme, so to speak, in the first round, whoever that is, right? Like they, a team in the power structure will like playing a Memphis or a Tulane or South Florida to advance to the next round. They will like that as opposed to having to go through a Clemson or a Georgia or a whatever. That's why it will stay. Plus the antitrust stuff. I mean, I don't necessarily think we've talked to national college football writers about this. Brent McMurphy told us last month he doesn't think it's going anywhere for quite some time for that reason. So that's not why that's not what I would worry about. What I'd worry about is just the stink that I have. Staying in the American is not a good option. I mean, it's really not. Like there's nothing about it that is good or hopeful or ambitious. But that's what we're talking about here. Am I saying that this Pac-12 formation is going to fix everything about Memphis? No. Neither is staying in the American. Like, where is my upside in the American? I have none.
Again, I mean, let's get the invite first before we get emotional about this. It's the right move. They'll invite Memphis, which again, its diversity has been used against it when it comes to things like this. There's no invite yet just because Dennis Dodd has mentioned
Memphis. Yeah, there could not be.
And so there's no need to, again, get emotional about this. We've presented the options. You've said you like this one better, and you may very well be right.
Yeah. But again,
so everybody feels good.
I feel passionate about it because I want the best for Memphis.
I think we see that.
And if you want Memphis to stay in the American, then you clearly don't care about Memphis.
I don't want Memphis to stay in the American. I want Memphis to make the best decision.
Right. I mean, again,
you're making that today.
Well, if I have a choice,
with no information on ACC, you're going with the extreme that it's never breaking up.
How can you make a decision on something that I have no information on?
Right, you're ready to jump. You've made that very clear.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me, if there was some indication that I could get into the ACC when it breaks up in 2095, I might consider it. But you can't tell me that.
So you'll be holding your breath for the invite. We get it.
I can't.
I'm not holding my breath.
Well,
there we go.
I think it'll be a great day. I think it will be a great day if and when that invitation comes. It's not the fix-all, be-all, but it's better than the situation you're in, which is a good start for me. In terms of this tip-off, Drew, what do you make of it for Memphis getting a game like this? And do you think there's a chance with support that it could become, you know, an annual regular season thing?
Yeah, I would hope that it can become a regular season thing for sure. This all kind of got to me this morning. Apparently, folks at the Daily Memphian had a good idea this long before. Nobody clued me in on this, but I think it's pretty cool. It's pretty nice to have North Carolina come into town. Obviously, that's a major program, South Carolina in women's basketball. There is no bigger program or bigger person in college basketball than Dawn Staley right now. So, obviously, it's fantastic. It shows you the power that St. Jude has. We see it every year with a golf tournament, but St. Jude is just an unbelievable place. And the fact that we have it in Memphis is a total blessing. And so, as long as this is successful, and I really hope Memphians, you know, I know it's an exhibition game this year, but, like, knowing what this is going to, the cause that this is going to, like, this is the game you go to. You got to go to this game. I'd rather be at this game, obviously, than, you know, one of the early season, regular season games.
Right.
I just hope it gets a lot of support this year, because I feel like that's going to be pretty critical in pushing it forward. But, like, if we all rally around this event and, you know, the attendance is really good and, you know, it really helps out a good cause, I don't see why we can't do this, you know, going forward in the regular season and continue to bring big-time opponents here to Memphis for an event like this. But I think it's kind of incumbent on the community here to make this a big deal. And they're giving us that opportunity. And I think as a community, we need to take advantage of it, and people need to go out to the game.
How interested are you, Drew, in Memphis at Florida State this weekend? And what do you think happens?
I'm very interested because I want to know if Memphis can make the college football playoff. I was listening to John on with Jeff. John, what percentage did you give Memphis? 5%?
I gave him 5. I gave him 5.
5%?
I get it. It's low. It's low.
I think it's a little higher than 5. And, like, if you follow me, like, I was at the Alabama game last weekend. I think I was slightly overserved, already mad about my football team in week 2. So I'm not the most optimistic, cheery of fans. I obviously want Memphis to do well because it's in the best interest of the city. So with the Tigers, I'm going to choose to be more optimistic here. I mean, I think that they have a good chance to win. They have a better quarterback. And, like, let's think about this. Like, when you watch football games, a lot of the time, and it's a little bit more so for the NFL, but a lot of the time you look at the two teams, you decide who has the better quarterback, and you assume that that team is going to win. And that is not, you know, that is the case for Memphis. They do have the better of the two quarterbacks. I feel really confident in saying that right now. Now, everywhere else on the field, there's going to be a little bit of a talent discrepancy, I think. Florida State's athletes are just simply going to be better athletes than Memphis's athletes. But that doesn't mean that they can't win this football game. And so I think it's a big game for Memphis. I think it has become more than probably what it should be. You almost kind of hoped that this was a game in which Florida State was some massive favorite top 10 team, and you played them really close down to the wire, and you end up getting credit for it, a la what Boise State did with Oregon.
Yep.
Now it kind of feels like a game you have to win, and that's a high-pressure situation.
Yeah, I think this is a good strategy. If Memphis wins, they take somebody's spot in the ACC. I mean, maybe it's Florida State, but I think we can put that on the line. Winner gets invited into
Florida
the ACC.
State, Florida State would gladly let Memphis take it twice in the ACC.
Right.
That's not the problem.
Let's run it by them. Let's run it by them, man. You know, break the granted rights early.
Florida State, you'd have Florida State and Mike Norvell throwing the game in the first quarter. You know? Like, if that... That quarter. But, yeah, it's a big game. It's like, I don't know how to feel about it, too, because it feels like everything has broke the wrong way here, because if Florida State, like I said, if they were this massive favorite, then the result of the game wouldn't really matter to the grand scheme of things in terms of trying to get into the college football playoff. And two, it would be an opportunity to get some respect. And now it's like, if you beat Florida State, well, then Florida State was bad. If you lose to Florida State, well, then you lost to a bad Florida State team. There's really, it's kind of a bit of a lose-lose situation here for Memphis, and that kind of sucks. Obviously, you'd rather win than lose, but I do think that there was an opportunity maybe for a better scenario than this, than what they've now been dealt.
Oh, it was kind of cool to see Ja Morant in a Memphis football game and realize he was a college football fan in that instance. I saw, too, Ed Scott steal a picture with Ja. You know, that'll cost you in the streets, a picture with Ja like that.
I'm sure it will. That was cool. It's cool to see Ja out there. I know Ja's been working out a lot with the Grizzlies. He's been here in Memphis. From what I've heard, he's looked very good. I think that's an encouraging sign. Not that that's exactly shocking news, because Ja's an incredible basketball player. But the team has started back their runs. Ja's been in there. Jaren's been in there. A lot of the guys were at Desmond Bane's wedding in Mexico last week, so shout out to Des. Congratulations to him. But, yeah, man, we're getting closer to the season. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw the quote from Richard Jefferson yesterday. I don't know where he said it, but he said the Grizz were the Thunder 2 seasons ago. Obviously, there's been injuries. There's been a lot of things that have gone on, but don't forget who Ja Morant is. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting, just the arc. You know, I mean, we see this all the time in the NBA. You know, teams take off, they take a step back for whatever reason. It has happened before, though, that teams that have taken a step back have gone on to break the ceiling as well. I think about Milwaukee when they won the title in the 2021 year. I mean, they had gone to the Eastern Conference Finals. They had come back. Boston, same way, right? Like, you know, there is a way, you know, to still break that glass ceiling. And it feels like the Grizzlies are going to be one of those teams that people have circled to do that this year.
Yeah, well, first of all, the opportunity, or I guess the chances of Richard Jefferson saying something nice about Memphis was definitely lower than 5%. So that was nice to hear him finally say something good about
the
Grizzlies. Yeah, he's just been so harsh on both the city and the Grizzlies for years. But I do kind of agree with the take. I think it's part of what makes a potential OKC Grizzlies future rivalry fun. I think the Grizzlies are very sneaky this year. There's several reasons why I think that is the case. The first being, I think Ja is highly flying under the radar right now. Like, people have forgotten about how great this guy is as a basketball player. When you compare his best season, which was 21-22, to last year, what Anthony Edwards did and what Jalen Brunson did, it is right there neck and neck with those guys. Like, if that's the job that the Grizzlies are getting, I just can't see this team not being a real threat to win the Western Conference. Like, I feel that strongly about how talented he is. I think there's going to need to be a commitment, though, to letting Ja be that ball dominant, because it feels like we've gone so far down this developmental path that it's like, oh, we've discovered that Vince is good, and we've discovered that Gigi is good, and now we have all these extra weapons in there. But it's like, yeah, but Ja still needs to be dominating these games. Like, Ja still needs to be taking the shots. He needs to be, you know, dominating the ball. His usage rate increased every single year since he got in the league until last year, and every single year he was incredible and getting better and eventually became an all-star. So, like, there's going to have to be a recommitment to getting back to the way they did it before all this, before this detour that they've taken. But I think as long as they do that and they've made the moves that have signaled that that is what they want to do, like drafting Zach Edey so you can have a screener for him and recommit to scoring in the paint, as long as that's what they're going to do, I do feel really good about them being, like I said, close to a 50-win team in the playoffs, competitive and a threat to win the West.
Well, hopefully this won't matter in the playoffs, but I heard Jeff and Harrington discussing this morning. I wanted to run it by you. They were talking about who comes in, who backs up Ja at point guard on that second unit. So when he's coming out, obviously playoffs aren't going to matter. You're hoping that Ja's playing most of those minutes. But during the regular season, first crack at it, in terms of are you hoping Bane can do it? Is that some? I mean, they even talked about it. You don't want to give it to Marcus Smart, and that's kind of where I am. Just in terms of your feel starting the year here, when Ja's out, who's playing point guard?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're giving me this opportunity because I've written probably 1,400 words on this. Should be out
excellent
sometime this week. And Chris and I also recorded a podcast talking about this, and a lot of it was Marcus Smart versus Vince Williams Jr. and the backup point guard position. And, you know, I spent a lot of time digging through the analytics, and the one thing that you'll find is that, for a long time, like I said, I think Vince should be the starter, and that I think on the wing, and that I think he, at this stage in his career, might be a better player. He rebounds at a better rate. The steals and blocks are slightly better. He shot the ball a little bit better last year. But now I've changed my tune to what Marcus Smart does as a point guard. It doesn't fit what the Grizzlies want to do. You know, Ja, his frequency of shots at the rim, 36% last year. Scottie Pippen, 36% last year. Even Desmond Bane, up over 25%. You know, where Marcus Smart falls there, 19%. Oof. Way below all those other guys. Oof. He's not attacking the rim and scoring at the rim. He's actually shot the ball better as an off guard, somebody that plays off the ball either at the two or the three over the course of his career. And he's passed the ball better as a two or a three over the course of his career. So as intriguing as it is to let him fill that backup point guard role, I don't think that that's what makes the most sense for the Memphis Grizzlies. And so for that reason, I think he should start on the wing next to Ja Morant, and you should bring in Scottie Pippen Jr., or you should let Desmond Bane play point guard behind him, because that is the best way you can commit to your style of play.
Yeah.
Exactly what I just talked about. If you're going to get back to attacking the basket at will, then play your point guards that are going to attack the basket at will when Ja comes off the court. And to me, whatever point guard you're going to use is obviously not going to be Ja Morant. So whoever you think is going to be the better wing and is going to be more helpful in that scenario, especially when Edie might come off the court with him, I think it makes plenty of sense to leave Vince as a player off the bench, because he has been a little bit better of a shooter than Marcus Smart, and he is a better rebounder than Marcus Smart. And if Ja and Edie are off the court, you know, you're going to need rebounding, because both of those guys rebound up for their position. So, or you would assume so with Edie. So I think all of that's really important, and I would probably go with Pippen to begin with, and if you're not going to go with Pippen, I would try Bane as the backup point guard. One more point on this that I want to make is that I think the other element here that we haven't talked about is that Marcus Smart's shooting is going to be really important if he does stay in that starting lineup with Ja and all of them. He has not been that excellent of a shooter, 32%, 33% for his career. But he's got to be able to make the wide-open ones. And, like, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, he was connecting on wide-open threes for the NBA's website, like 38, 37%. The last two seasons, that's dropped 35%. If he can get back to just making close to 40% of the wide-open threes that he gets, Grizzlies are going to be fine offensively with Marcus Smart out there. So that was a long answer. I'm sorry, guys, but Yeah, I had a lot to say.
Not long. It was thorough, Drew, and very well done and very led. I love that plan. I absolutely love the plan of handing it over to Scottie to start. You know, I mentioned Bane, like you had said, and I like that as a second option. But I'm ready for Scottie, because I want that attacking of the lane that you mentioned. So I love your plan. Doesn't mean it's necessarily the right thing today, does it, John?
No.
But when we're analyzing plans,
yes,
we can say we love it to death.
I like plans.
You know what I'm saying?
I like plans. I like plans where I know I have a real option.
You have to stick to it.
Scottie Pippen right there, you know, I ain't got to worry about, okay, is it a, fantastical? Is it like maybe I get like a backup somewhere?
He's ready.
He's right here, and he showed some stuff in the summer league. So, Drew, you're the best.
I like plans that come together.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Those are the plans I like. We got a plan.
We got you and I got a plan coming together for Jason. Just stay tuned. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a big announcement for Memphis.
Y'all going to be kicking off at 10 p.m. I'm going to be asleep.
We got a big one. Memphis After Dark, baby. Let's go. You're the best, Drew. Thanks.
Thank you, Drew.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. See
you. He is Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. Let me run by you what Kevin Sweeney said, and I'm wondering if you agree with him.
Okay.
He said, I assume everyone connecting Memphis to the Pac-12 isn't doing so without some sort of mutually acknowledged interest, but I don't really understand why that would change the status quo at all for Memphis, and it would add all sorts of travel headaches. He says, I just don't know what's different for Memphis if the Pac-12 takes UTSA and Tulane instead of Memphis, like if Memphis turned it down. The football situation might be worse, but you'd still be competing for the same group of five slot. The basketball situation would be the same. Money probably not particularly different. The problem Memphis has is they're really close to being a P4-level football program and certainly are a P4-level basketball program, but can't get into P4. I don't see how that reality is any different if they're playing Oregon State and Colorado State instead of UAB and FAU. So that's what he said. Do you agree with that, or are there pieces of that you agree with or disagree with?
I mean, I don't. Is it a take, or is that is some of what I said, essentially?
Yeah,
like, consider the alternative. This doesn't have to be obvious, this move to the Pac-12. What I heard was some of what I just argued.
Yes.
And so I don't need to agree with him. What my take was there, it sounds like some of what he's got out there.
Well, he tweeted it earlier this morning. I just saw it and was just running it by you and just see if the spirit of it was the same. And I texted him separately.
I just think it's worth comparing the two. That this is no guarantee of a promised land. What it is a guarantee of is it is a better conference than what you're in.
But that doesn't get
you anywhere necessarily.
I totally agree with you.
Into the group of five spot. Yes, maybe that is a conference that's going to get it every year. You don't have that on paper. You know what I'm saying? You are technically competing with them.
Yeah.
And frankly, you're going to be at the top of your conference. It's going to be you versus them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one else in your conference that's going to be competing with you versus them.
Yeah.
So, again, not saying that this is the right answer. I don't even want to get back that deep into it. Until I see an invite, those kinds of things, it's not even worth getting passionate.
Well, in fairness, we also would need to know that the money made sense. I mean, we'd have...
I thought there was an assumption on your part that the money's going to be so much better. I mean,
if it's 8 to 12,
didn't we
I
just
would
read
it.
Something that thought it was, that they thought it would be decently better?
I mean, we don't have numbers, but...
Right, and that's not a power structure, again, where you're playing with the big boys that are doing the $21, $22 million in NIL to student-athletes. So
correct.
There may never be that path for Memphis.
Right.
Oh, I could hear you coming down the pike, brother, because I've heard it all, and you're right about it all. You're right about every single concern that you have. But again, I would just say there's literally no need to get passionate about this at all until you see the invite, until you've got something to consider. And it feels like, I get the sense a majority of folks look at it like you do, that this is a step up. Although, you know, there's some unknowns, it's a step up.
Right.
So when that invite comes, yes, I do. I think most folks will probably be with you. Let's go take it. It'll be a happy day. I'm not going to sit up here and be the Grinch about it.
Right.
It'll be better than where you are. What I'm telling you is, hey, it's still going to be some shaky ground you're on, bro.
There's no question.
And it's going to be a whole bunch of late night football games.
Right. Well,
What are you talking about? We don't even do 11 a.m.s around this thing. We can't even get to 11 a.m. games. And you're telling me now we're gonna stay up for 10 p.m.?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. We're not going to do that.
We're going to stay up.
Man, stop. We already got Boise State on the schedule. I don't. You know, it's super special now that they're going to be a conference mate. No,
it's not. You ain't got.
If you can't show me
San Diego State.
If you can't show me a lot more money, which would have been nice, right, but it doesn't sound like we think there's going to be a ton more, then what I've got really is a better basketball league hell of a lot of travel for my women's soccer teams. And they matter.
Yep.
Let me tell you that. I mean,
they do.
That matter. That's a lot of travel for them.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. Not just them. All of your Olympic sports are going over there for what?
Well,
conference play that nobody's excited about, just like they're not excited about here.
Well,
at least here, you've got some ties. You're not spending out on travel.
I want to cut these ties.
And I'd rather go, again, if it ever opens up to ACC, where I've got even some older ties that, you know, it could get fun again, depending upon what's left, depending upon what's pulled out.
I think there is some chance that they would take a pod of AAC teams for that reason, for travel consideration reasons, that there would have to be some centrally located, you know, central time zone teams to avoid the back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So what if it was Memphis, Tulane, you know what I'm saying, South Florida? I don't know that, right? I don't know that. Mm-hmm. But what if it did look like that? Because what you would really essentially be doing and what you would have the chance to do, which is, I think this is maybe the best part of it, is you could really kill the American. You could kill it. It's no mas. Because if it's Memphis and it's Tulane, and if you want to say UTSA, then you'll never have to worry. Because now you have absolutely aligned yourself with the best of the rest, hands down. There's no question, right? So you can effectively take control of that in this new league. Now, you're right, man. It's not a great option still. It's not. I'm not going to sit here and try to act like this is some life-changing, life-saving maneuver for Memphis.
No.
It's more of it's preservation.
Mm-hmm. I'll buy that.
It's preservation as opposed to we stay in this league with Rice and Tulsa and North Texas and you know, we just kind of watch the league die, or you know, watch the team and the program die on the vine on ESPN Plus. Whereas is it the best of the best? It is not, but it's still Boise State, which is a brand. Oregon State is a brand. Washington State is a brand. Colorado State made the tournament last year. You know, San Diego State was a 5 seed last year in the NCAA tournament. It's actually, weirdly, it's better for basketball than it is football. Like, no question about it. You know, like, football is definitely, I might make an argument, you know? Like, you got Tulane, USF, Memphis. Mm-hmm. Is Oregon State, Washington State, Boise State, I mean, San Diego State's down in football. So for football, it's actually more of a question mark. For basketball, I'd want to do it, no, you know, hands down. But again, if you told me I'm going to get more play, I'm going to get more money, I'm going to be able to fortify this as the absolute, I don't have to worry about anything else, because right now, as Dennis Dodd points out, Boise State has the inside track to the college football playoff spot. It ain't you. It ain't AAC. It ain't Tulane. It ain't South Florida. It's Boise, because they're in the Mountain West. They're going to play better teams. They're going to play Oregon State. They're going to play Washington.
We said that before the season, that they've got the two Pac-12 teams. And right. Schedule-wise, we like them better. That's not some revelation.
What I'm saying is they're going to have that even more so now. They're going to have even more of it in the Pac-12.
Well, and also the chance to get knocked off. Right? The chance not to run the table in that league.
Just
you would think. You're telling me how good it is. Well, the chance.